Hello, everybody. We just want to welcome you back to the second session for growing microgreens. In this section, we're just going to cover
all things admin.
All things admin. So invoicing, websites, labeling, logos, and many more. So stay tuned. So for us, when we initially started, I think we first, we did mention that the Lord orchestrated things in such a way that we were able earlier on to secure an order from a wholesaler now for to supply them with microgreens. Now, just to give you a little backdrop, when we actually went to that meeting with the wholesaler, we weren't looking to provide the wholesaler with any microgreens. No. Actually, the point of the meeting was we were just looking at what's the viability, what's the possibility of...
And what do we do? What would we
have
to
do? What would the process be? And also, how many microgreens, you know, potentially do we think we may be able to grow? All these questions we didn't have any answers to. And so we thought, well, the best person to talk to is probably a wholesaler. He might know, because if he has microgreens, and this particular wholesaler did have microgreens, so we ended up calling him and then meeting him. And at this particular fruit and veg wholesaler, which was in Glasgow, which is about
3 hours
drive away from us,
3.5 hours.
Yeah, they start their working day at 12 midnight, so we had to go there early hours of the morning and meet with this gentleman.
Yeah, we just called, actually, because we prayed. It's a testimony, but we prayed, and through a series of events, we got to the point where we called the director of this particular company just to ask the question, if we were to supply you with microgreens, what would we have to do? Mm. We didn't know if there'd be any regulations or anything, things that we'd have to fulfill, certificates to show, I don't know, something. And the end of that conversation was, oh, why don't you come down and see us? Mm. So we did. We had to be there for like 6 a.m. or something like that, because they start, as Robert said, they start at 12 and they go through to about, everybody's gone by 9 a.m. Mm. So he said to come at 6. So we got there at 6 and we were just hoping to walk away with just a little bit more information.
Yeah. Yeah, and that would have been good. Mm-hmm. But while we were there, we could see the spirit moving. And
very quickly.
Very quickly, because the meeting that we had...
It was only about 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes maximum, I think. And literally, we sort of went in there with a couple of questions. But then he started asking us questions. And at the end of it, he said, well, okay, he showed us this list of microgreens that he's supplied.
What they order.
And then said, well, if you can supply any of these on here, we'll take them off you. So yeah, at the end of that meeting, brief meeting, God had it, orchestrated it, that we ended up coming out of there with a order for £2,000 worth of microgreens
a month.
Every month. So that really did...
That, sorry to interrupt, but that was not even the full capacity of what they actually order from the supplier.
No.
It probably wasn't even quarter of what they get on a monthly basis from their current supplier. Mm. So he said, well, we'll just start with this and see how you go. And he allowed us to pick the microgreens that we felt comfortable growing for him.
Mm.
So we picked pea shoots and just easy stuff.
Yeah, easy stuff. Because
with the exception of amaranth.
Yeah, because bearing in mind, at this time, we didn't have any infrastructure at all.
No, well,
we didn't.
We had that one shelf.
We didn't have that. No, we had no lights.
That one light. No, we had that one round.
Yeah, yeah, but that wasn't a grow light. That was just a lamp light. But we didn't have though T8s, shop lights,
like
is what you call them. We had nothing like that. We had no racks
because
or shelves.
It was exploratory going there.
Yeah, yeah. But as I said, we walked out of there with that deal, and very quickly we had to get on our knees, A, to thank the Lord, and then B, to petition him to provide the infrastructure.
Which he did.
Which he did, mm-hmm. amazingly. And that's another testimony. So, so wholesalers... is a quick way, if you're interested. I mean, obviously, you know, some of you listening to this might just be interested in growing microgreens for yourselves and for your family, and that's fine, you know, just to add to your salads and things like that. But if you're interested in probably growing it commercially, you know, then going to a wholesaler is a good way, because you don't have to be a jack of all trades. You can just maybe major on one, two or three different microgreens, and you know, you're going to get paid. You're not going to get paid. This is from our experience. You're not going to get paid the full whack, because obviously you're just at the other end of the scale, and the wholesaler.
He's
a middleman.
You have a middleman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
But you can shift a lot of
microgreens, and plus it gets you into the flow of growing the cycles. You know, and it gives you an opportunity to get all of your different processes down, because believe you me, there was so much to learn in such a short space of time.
Yeah, we were at the end of our tether.
Yeah.
Our nights became day, and our days became night.
We were like, Lord, Lord, this is not it. This can't be it. Please, Lord.
However, very quickly, we managed to get a system in place, and, you know, we had to have a seeding day, we had to have a harvest day. In fact, we were harvesting the morning of delivery.
Mm.
So that wasn't so difficult, but making sure that we had everything seeded up in time so that we could supply. But he did give us a little leeway. He did say to us, well, as soon as you're ready, just let us know.
Mm.
And I think we started supplying about 4 weeks later.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, 2 to 4 weeks later, just to give ourselves some time to, you know,
get used to the cycles. And
we had to get to, in fact, we had one shelf, we had a little windfall, a small windfall, which bought us one shelf, which had how many rungs, maybe two or three, something like that. And we had lights for that, but that was it. And we needed to, we had the first lot, the first week seeded, but, you know, you had to have it on a cycle. So we needed to get the next lot seeded, but we didn't have any more space or lights or trays or anything for that. So we had to pray, and we decided that we would work out what exactly that we needed to be able to supply this particular customer. And we needed £6,000. What would that be, about $8,000 or something?
Worth of infrastructure.
Something like that, anyway. And so we didn't have that. And we just seeded into our last tray.
Mm.
So we got on our knees and just prayed and said, you know, Lord, you need to help us, because this guy's expecting this stuff. And, you know, we've committed and we need to, you know, and we believe that you've brought this to us. So you have to now supply the way. And so that's exactly what happened. We prayed and we felt led to contact somebody that would maybe able to help us. And they did. Within 24 hours of that telephone call, we had the £6,000 in our bank account.
So, you know, as we were saying, so the wholesalers could be a good way of just getting in the door, mm-hmm. and for you to hone your skills with growing the microgreens, you know, on a regular basis. Couple things just to think about when you're doing wholesale delivery or getting your product to the wholesaler. You know, you may have to, for us, just again, different context. If you're just around the corner from the wholesaler, that's fine. You can just do that yourself, or maybe the wholesaler can come to you. For us, that wasn't the case, because the wholesaler was three and a half hours away.
And the times that they needed to receive, because they needed it on early
hours of the morning.
And they needed it as close to midnight as possible. And, you know, health message and everything. It's impossible for us to be doing that.
So we had to hire the services of a haulage company. So
a logistics company. Yeah. We would drop it off like late in the afternoon on a Wednesday. And then they would leave something like 10 o'clock or something. Mm. And then I think they would get there about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning or something. But everything is chilled and stuff. They would take fish backwards and forwards from the Shetlands down to Glasgow. And then from Glasgow, go out to the wider country.
Yeah.
And so our stuff would go. And I think initially we had some issues because they said that the boxes were smelling of fish.
That's so not good for microgreens.
So we started wrapping the boxes in fish-proof film. You know, you just fake it till you make it, you know.
Yeah. So all these different things may or may not, you know, they may come into play. If they don't, praise the Lord. If they do, These are all learning experiences. Yeah, exactly. Go with the flow. Direct customers. Yeah. And by that, we mean direct trade customers. So those would be your chefs, your restaurants, your cafe owners, those types of things.
Yeah. So you know, we would see the revenue that we had from the wholesaler was kind of like the bread and butter money. But, you know, we felt that if we could get into the restaurants, that would be really good, because then we cut that middle. In fact, there's two middlemen that we cut out, because you've got, you know, the grower would normally go to the wholesaler, and then the wholesaler would sell to the distributor, and then the distributor would sell then to the chef.
To the restaurants.
And that's how it is here. I don't know how it is there, but that's how it is here. And so we would sell to direct to the restaurant, and we cut out the wholesaler and the distributor, and you can give that end price. So we found that it would be quite good, because we would have obviously the wholesale going on, and then when we got into the restaurants, as we mentioned earlier, the restaurants, they just swung their doors open, and they were really happy with the product. They said that the taste was better, the texture of the actual microgreens were better, because what they had said is that because the competitor was selling growing hydroponically, the actual microgreens, they seemed to be a little bit limp. They weren't as robust. And so I think that was a problem with their shelf life as well. So because we were growing in soil, I'm wondering whether perhaps the soil, I don't know what it is about the soil, but I'm thinking it may hold more moisture for a longer period of time and make it available to the plant, because there's no nutrients per se in the soil that we're using, because it's peat. It's just peat. But obviously there's something in the peat that the microgreens like, and, you know, that caused them to have that more robust situation going on. And so they had the flavor. Did I mention that already? Yeah. They had the flavor.
It was lasting longer.
They were robust. They were lasting longer. And so the word just got out there, and folks were just like, we really love your microgreens, and telling all their friends and their chef friends. And we went from the wholesaler to Edinburgh. Edinburgh is also about 3 hours from here. But there is a lot of microgreens being used by the chefs in Edinburgh. And so that actually, we're going to be talking in a little while about social media, because what I did is I actually went online to see who was using microgreens.
Save it for social media.
I'll save that for social media. But they were using it a lot. And so we went from one wholesaler to a handful of restaurants in Edinburgh to then supplying seven towns throughout Scotland, which was obviously Glasgow. Then we had Edinburgh, Dundee, Perth, Inverness, Royal Deeside, which is where Balmoral is, where the Queen's Castle is.
And the Shire, Aberdeenshire.
Aberdeen City and Aberdeenshire.
And what we were finding is that whenever we would speak to a chef, we would always let them do a little taste test of the microgreens, and that really did blow their mind.
Robert would come home and he'd be like, oh, I wish I was just filming it. They would open up the glass thingy and the first thing they do is they smell it. And they'll be like, whoa, you know, and Robert's trying to explain it all to me, you know, and then they'll taste it and they go, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I wish I had a video there.
I wish I had just filmed that with my phone and used that on it on social media.
Especially the micro basil and the micro cilantro or coriander, as we call it over here.
The smell and the
taste.
They
would just love it.
Yeah, yeah, very, very strong. So when people have done the little taste test, and then they would ask me how much, you know, it was, and I would tell them, and they'd be like, oh, wow, thought it was going to be a lot more, you know.
So we were like,
It wasn't just one or two people. There were quite a lot of chefs were saying the same thing. Oh, we thought that it was going to cost a lot more. And others would say, oh, we'd be prepared to pay more.
More, yeah.
You know, and, you know, I'm telling them, no, it's like, you know, £2 or whatever.
I think it was
$2.10 or whatever.
I think we might have, $2.70
and people were like, well, no, I'll pay you more, you know, because it's a really good product. So we had to then go back and think, okay, well, you know, what is the Lord trying to say to us here? You know,
maybe we didn't really know what the pricing structure was.
We didn't.
We just had to take a stab in the dark, really.
Yeah. And so we then incorporated or upped our price, our selling price, to £3 a tub. Yeah. And so what we found is that by going to the chefs directly, we were obviously getting a better return, as it were, on our investment.
$4.07.
Yeah, per microgreen tub.
Small clasp.
That's the equivalent.
Yeah.
But obviously, again, it's all context, because if the market that, or where you live, you know, if there's about, you know, 100 other microgreen growers, then everyone's competing on price.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
You can have price wars.
Yeah, so then you may have to keep your price low. But and what I'm thinking is that
it's about $5.30
For the bigger tub.
The large tub, which would be red vein sorrel
and nasturtium,
and
like
nasturtiums, anything in the large.
But do your due diligence, you know, check things out, you know, look at the context for where you are, and then also, which we always do, I mean, just pray, because the Lord knows, is, you know, this whole agriculture thing, it's not, and understand when I say this, it's not a money thing, you know, it's a God thing. Mm-hmm. So if God is asking us to do this, and if God is saying, which we've read, and I'm sure you've read the quotes, that by doing this sort of work, you know, it's God's plan for us to be self-sufficient, you know, this, that, the other, then God will bring the business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's his business. Mm-hmm. It's his calling. Mm-hmm. So we don't have to worry. But obviously, we need to do our work and do it diligently. So, you know, we may have to, if it means that we have to drop a price, not a problem. We need to pray and ask God, bring more customers.
I mean, we've given
God will do that.
We've given stuff away before as well.
Yeah, yeah. So
whatever, if we've seeded up a little too much, rather than throw it away, we would just go into other restaurants and say, here, try this, or whatever.
That's right. So the restaurants have been really, really good for us. The wholesale was good. We don't do wholesale anymore.
No.
We really just major on the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And I found personally from, you know, when you're dealing with a wholesaler, you're dealing with one person,
mm-hmm.
Which is fine. But when you're dealing with restaurants, then you're dealing with 20, 30 chefs mm-hmm. at any one time,
mm-hmm.
You know, if it's a head chef anyway, you know, and that means that in terms of just being able to interact with people, because at the end of the day, you know, we're the light, we're the salt, and you know, it gives you a lot more sort of exposure to people, and people exposed to you and your ways, which is really good. But the main way of getting all of these revenue streams, every single one of them, the main way
is prayer
on our knees. That's how it's been.
Yeah,
we're like, Lord, this is your business. You have asked us to come and do this, so we're asking you to provide a way. And don't get me wrong, it's not as if, you know, we're not sort of treating God like a magic genie or anything like that, but the point is, we take God.
Oh, sometimes we have to wait.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but we do take God at his word, and he's got tons of promises in the Bible, which we can claim.
There's 1,000 ways that he can provide for you, of which you know nothing.
The other revenue stream that we've seen just recently, before I do that one, I'll do that one last. The other one as well is shops.
Oh, yeah.
Over here in Scotland anyway, again, it's all about context. We don't have what you would call farmers markets that are not on
Sabbath.
Yeah, that are not. No, they're all on Sabbath.
Farmers markets here are on
all the
Sabbath,
farmers markets are on one. Sabbath.
Except one.
Yeah. But if you've got that, then obviously you've got the market, farmers markets. As I said, we don't have that. But we did look at shops. And so there was a few shops that we tried.
Yeah, health food stores.
Yeah, they weren't weren't big sellers.
No,
really.
We have seen people that have benefited really well, actually, from the shops.
Mm.
You know.
Yeah.
We have.
Yeah.
People in America, in fact.
Yeah, yeah. But for us, as I said, up here in Scotland,
it just hasn't worked.
It just didn't work in that way. And then the last thing is veg boxes. That's the last one, and we'll just speak on this very briefly. But again, we don't get a huge amount of uptake, and that's why we had to scale everything down because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we're all in this together, and we'll see how God leads through this pandemic.
From January to March, it was just snowballing, and so we were, or just coming down from that, and so we were like, okay, it is what it is. But then we decided, just as a thought, we would just offer an out of season box, because we have a fellow farmer in Inverness that we went to visit. I think it was around January, in actual fact, and we thought it would be nice to go and visit them. They're a farming family. They're not Adventist or anything. They're just, you know, secular folk. But a lovely, lovely couple, and they have children. And we just were interested to see what they were doing. And they were so eager to have us come. And we went and literally sort of spent half a day with them, didn't we? And we sat and had hot drinks and everything. Yeah, and they nice showed people. Us their chickens and, you know, honey and everything. And they were the ones that mentioned it, because we said, oh, so what do you do in the winter time? Because, you know, we don't grow in the winter because we can't. And they were like, well, they don't really grow in the winter either. So we were like, so what do you do? And he said, well, we buy in. And so he was like, oh, you never thought of doing that? And I was like, well, we thought about it, but, you know, we just dismissed it because we thought, well, that's not really what we do. We don't buy in, we grow. But I don't know. I think the Lord was already preparing our minds, because then come March, in fact, it was just before the lockdown, literally at the time that it was about to happen, we sat at the table and we decided, why don't we do an out of season box and we buy in, you know, in fact, from the same company that we supplied microgreens to. And so we decided to do that. And literally we just got like, you know, it was like a stampede. And again, we ended up in a situation where we were like, you know,
just trying to catch up.
We were working night and day, pretty much, almost, you know, and then we got the system in place to deal with such a volume of customers. I think, you know, I think we went up to like 250 veg boxes a week, something along those lines. And then obviously the summer came, and so we, you know, other products came online as well, edible flowers and honey and things like that. We don't do the honey ourselves. A lady contacted us and asked if we would sell the honey. So we agreed to do that. And so, yeah, so the veg boxes, we do them all year now. Our own produce in the summer and bought in produce in the winter.
Yeah. And as I said, and then as an add-on to the veg box, we have our customers can put microgreens as an add-on. That's why we're mentioning this.
Yeah.
But again, it's not any big figures or anything like that.
No.
And we're just going to have to wait and see, as I said, how COVID moves and what the Lord has in store, what his plan is for us in terms of continuing with microgreens or a new, another market stream, maybe, for the microgreen.
Well, you know, over the past few months with COVID, the restaurants have just been up and down. So when they're up, they'll contact us again. Oh, can we have some microgreens? And then when it's down, like at the moment, they're down. In fact, all the restaurants have to be shut because we're in a full lockdown at the moment.
Yeah.
In fact, I just had another thought today. Always looking at different ways. You know, I read a quote from my devotion one morning, and Ellen White, she says, be enterprising, you know? And okay, that can have so many different meanings, but, you know, to be enterprising, I think, is it's quite an exciting word, you know? And we just recently launched a new product line, which is raw juicing, or raw juice, cold pressed juice, because we were juicing ourselves. And, you know, we're drinking this stuff. We're like, this stuff tastes so good. You know, we've got like the carrots and the beets and lemon going on, and it looks good and it tastes good. And so we were like, well, why don't we actually just get bottles and bottle this up? And then we could sell it like as a 3-day cleanse or a 5-day cleanse or whatever. And so we decided that we would do that. And it was just today I said to Robert, I said, you know what? I said, we could do like a limited edition of the raw juices and we can put microgreens in it. So it would be like a super duper, you know, with
extra tangy.
Well, we can put the radish in and it will be like a spicy,
yeah,
a spicy 40 times more nutritious. But it's just, you know, trying to be creative and think of different ways that we can you know, keep that revenue going. I actually think people will go for it, and it would be really interesting to see what the uptake would be like.
So watch this space, see what happens. Okay. Yeah. But we're going to now close out this section. So I hope you've been blessed. I hope you've been informed. So again, this was Market Streams. We looked at wholesale. We looked at chefs and restaurants going direct. We also looked at shops or farmers markets, if you've got farmers markets in your area. And then lastly, we looked at including microgreens as an add-on option for your veg boxes as well.
And limited edition raw juice.
And limited edition raw juice. So thank you again. Okay, so in this section, we're just going to cover very briefly on some more sort of admin-y type things that you might have to do with regards to growing microgreens and also selling them. So this section is actually about logos and labeling, or labels, should we say. Because obviously on those little clamshells that we showed you, the plastic ones, those have got your labels on just to keep things looking professional, keep things looking neat and orderly. And so what we did was, now I know for some people, they would go and hire a logo making person.
Which you can do that.
Which you can do that. If you've got the money for that, praise the Lord.
We didn't.
We didn't. So obviously we weren't going to be doing that. But what we did was we thought to ourselves, okay, what can we do? Mm-hmm. We don't know Adobe Photoshop. We don't own Adobe Photoshop. So, you know, we had to just look at what options are there available.
But you can get it on a trial, but...
You can get it on trial, but we didn't do that either. Yeah. So we just looked at, we did a bit of searching on YouTube, looked at a couple of tutorials. And in the end, we said that what we would do is use a product called
Inkscape.
I normally say inch.
Inch. That's what I thought. Let me quickly say it.
Inkscape. You may have come across it. It's for some people, it's the poor man's version of Photoshop.
Yeah.
But to me, I'm like, it's brilliant.
We don't care.
We don't care. and so, you know, we had to watch a few tutorials just to learn how to use it. Because these things, you know, I mean, we don't have any skills or experience in that. But we were like, Lord, we're just going to see if we can, you know, get this done, get a logo done, do it ourselves. Do we need to show on the...
Yeah, so we're just going to share the screen.
See how that works. Okay.
There we go. So you can...
Yeah, so let me just go into...
This is a place to find it. You'll go to your...
Google.
Go to Google.
If you use Chrome, you don't have to.
I only just started using it. I would always use Safari, but Robert says...
Yeah.
You need to use a Google Chrome.
Yeah. So Inkscape, draw freely. And the thing with this is that it is actually a free download, so that was the reason. And from the reviews and things that we saw, instructional videos, it can do the same thing as Photoshop, but we didn't need to do all of that. We just needed to be able to make a logo. And so that's what we used. So we went to Inkscape, downloaded, and then went ahead and started praying for inspiration.
As it says here, you can get professional vector graphics.
Yeah, which is what you need.
Which is what you need, yeah.
Yeah, you need your graphics so that they have a invisible background.
That's right. And not just that, like if you want to have t-shirts made or posters done, you need to have that really good quality
Vector
format.
That's right. Yeah. So that's what we did. We in the end made our own logo using Inkscape. So I'm just going to bring up So this is like our logo, the artisan grower, and then it looked. Some people say it's a plate
with a fork and a spoon.
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not. It's actually.
It's hand tools.
It's hand tools. If you look closely, it's actually hand tools. But, you know, from a distance on our website and vice versa, on an email, it looks like a plate with a knife and a fork, but it's not. It's hand tools that you would use growing, obviously.
And the name Artisan Grow, actually, we believe came from the Lord, because we were praying and praying and actually nothing came. So we were just going to say Sully Family Farm.
And that's fine.
And so we went with that. And then, I don't know, we were just having a conversation in the car one day driving along. And we were just talking about how, you know, it used to be 100 years ago, you know, where we were talking about the horse and cart. We were talking about pioneer days where they would have to take the horse and the carriage and they couldn't go all the way to Aberdeen, we were saying, in the car, because it's just so far away.
Yeah, too long.
And it would take them way too long. And I think actually we were watching a program about the Amish community and about how they keep with the horse and carriages and they stay so far away from the city that it's, you know, it's not easy for the young people if they want to go off into the city or whatever, you know, and so it just keeps them, the city at harm's, you know, way.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, imagine if it was still like that today. And we were talking in the car, we said, you know, you'd have your artisan
bread makers,
bread maker, and your artisan, you know, florist. And then I said, you'd have your artisan grower. And then we just looked at each other and we were like, artisan grower.
Bingo. That's,
yeah, we just love that. We were like, oh, we could just call it. And so we were actually just about 5 minutes from home. So as soon as we got in, we just dashed onto the computers, had a look to see if it was available on the web, theartisangrower.co.uk. And it was available. So we were like, wow, this is it. This is going to be our name.
So and everything came together. So, you know, as we said, if you've got the idea, just to try and keep things professional, especially if, A, you're going to be using a wholesaler, because you need to be able to brand yourself if you're selling microgreens or anything else. But more so, if you are selling direct to chefs and shops, you need to be have your, you know, your logo and everything. You need to have a proper
Some
brand.
Kind of brand, yeah.
So by God's grace, we were able to get the logo made. And then once we were able to do the logo, then that meant that we were able to get all of the rest of our labeling, specifically because we're talking about microgreens. So I can just show you our labeling sheet again, just to give you an idea. We had to make this all ourselves, everything we had to do from scratch. So
we just bought some labels, literally, that when we got the tubs, we measured the space within the tub where you would put a sticker. And then we went onto a label company and we just found the one that matched that size.
Yeah, that was the closest. And so
is it really?
This is how we would have to lay out all of our labels and then print that, peel off the stickers. And then put them onto the plastic tubs that we showed you, either the 30-gram ones or the 100-gram ones.
And sometimes so, that would be a job the children would do, actually.
Yeah,
especially
yeah.
if we were, you know, rushed for time, if we had, you know, a lot of microgreens.
They love sticking labels. All kids love sticking labels. Yeah. You know, it's a nice little job.
Once you've shown them how to do it, and, you know, we tell them it's for the customer, it's got to look nice, you know. And Anaya, she's very sort of methodical about how she goes about sticking the labels on, so
yeah,
sometimes they would be upside down, but thankfully these kind of stickers would be you know, we would tell them
easy to take off.
They were easy to take off and re-stick, so it wasn't so much of a problem. But, you know, we would show them it needs to be this way around, and there's like a little tab where you open up the box, and we're like, that needs to be on the bottom right.
That's right.
And they'd be okay with it.
Now, all of these things, again, these are just admin things, but for some people, and again, if you've got the money, if you've got the finances, you can pay and have labels produced, ready-made for you. So you don't have to do any of this work. You just give them the brief, and then, you know, these companies online, they will make these things up. Obviously, for us, the stage that we were at, funds were not, we didn't have lots of funds, so we had to do whatever it is that we could do just to keep, so that we didn't have to spend, you know, so much money. And
to be honest, for us, you know, we try to be frugal. So I think even if we had the money, we would try and do it ourselves. In fact, you know, as we said, we're about to launch the raw juices. And, you know, I suppose, you know, we have the money to get a printer to do it. But why would we want to
put money.
Play, pray, pay a printer when we could just do it ourselves. So yeah. we decided in the end we'd buy a laser printer and keep everything in-house.
Which means then you're future-proofing. But again, that's just for us.
We don't know what the future might hold. We might want to print some other something.
And nothing wrong with printers. You know, there may be a printer in the audience. Well, printers are good.
Well, we worked out that how, you know, I think it was going to, I think it was like 10 times, if we'd ordered the labels 10 times, we could have actually bought
a laser printer.
Really good professional laser printer. So we thought, let's do that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So so I hope this this section has helped. Just looking at labels, looking at logos and getting your branding. You can, like ourselves, do it yourself if you are slightly artistic. We're not really that artistic. But that's why we wanted our labeling and branding very simple. And also you can go the route of getting a print company, which once you've given them the brief, they can sort this all out. But I think for microgreens, as I said, especially if you're going to be selling direct to chefs or farmers market shops, you do need to have your branding sorted out. Mm-hmm. And it does need to be quite eye-catching, mm-hmm. if possible. Okay, so I hope you found that of good use, and we'll see you in the next section. Okay, in this section, we're going to be talking about more admin sort of related stuff, email, and also social media. So those are the three sections that we're going to cover very briefly. Our website, it's one of those things where, again, you could pay and get a website done professionally. We didn't do that. I guess you kind of knew we were going to say that. We decided to sort of build the website ourselves, again, through a bit of research and this, that, the other, save ourselves a little bit of money and plus gain some extra skills as well.
I think we would have saved ourselves a lot of money.
Yeah, potentially.
Because web design can be quite costly.
Quite costly, quite costly. And those that do it professionally, you know, I take my hat off to them. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, it's not something that I really relish.
No, whenever I say to him, oh, we need to change something on the website,
no,
he's like,
no, please.
Like, we have to, because it's please, not reading right or something.
Where's the web developer?
You are the web developer.
Call him. So obviously, you know,
we've got this is the last one, I think, was the microgreens.
Yeah.
So this is a picture, actually, that a customer of ours took.
Mm.
And, you know, we can use it here. So I think we put like a, what was that? Some kind of filter on it or something. And then we have it in the edge slider there.
Yeah.
I think.
And you can see in here, actually, while we're just there, as we were just talking on website, you can see some red cabbage. You can see some
purple shiso down
purple
here.
Purple shiso. Purple shiso up here. Up
there. Lemon balm.
Yeah, lemon balm. Some
rocket. What do they call it? Arugula.
Anyway. Yeah, so, you know, we just had to do this. But again, web presence, I think, is good only because it's just the way that everybody operates. So if you're running a business, selling microgreens, this, that, the other, you know, you hand them a business card, or, you know, you give them your details. You know, people want to know these things, you know, so they go on your website and check. So that's why we did it. So
this is a picture that we took, actually, of our microgreens.
This is Rambo Radish. For those of you that have grown before, you'll know the colours, how they look. A cousin to China Radish, which we were showing in the other instructional classes.
Yeah. And so this is our little bump on microgreens. It's not a lot, but it's just somewhere for our customers to go.
Yeah, just to get information.
Just to have a professional, what's the word?
Image, look and feel.
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that.
And then obviously the website then goes into the other things that we sell, which is here the veg boxes. And this is access to the online store. And then here are the actual veg boxes.
Mm.
And then it's just some, we introduce, as we said, the raw juices. You know, the thing with the raw juices is that, and I know this is not about that, but just a little side note, is that we have this thing where we believe that when you process your produce, you'll always make more revenue through processed through processing. So if you have an apple orchard, you'll make less money selling apples than you would selling apple juice.
Or apple pie.
Or apple pie, or apple...
without sugar.
Butter, or whatever you call it, applesauce.
Without white flour.
Yeah. So this is just taking you through our website, just some more information on the raw juices. And then you can see here just some images that we have here.
Yeah, and we try to keep things as visual as possible because from the research that we looked at, that's what people like. They like visual sights when they go onto them. So that's what we decided to do.
So it's good. If you don't want to have an influx of emails asking lots of questions, it's a really good idea that you put as much information as you can actually on your website. And then if you find that you're getting a certain amount of questions that are coming through all the time, then you know it's something you need to include on your website. So so this is just some information and a disclaimer about the raw juices. And actually, not just that. Oh no, this is a disclaimer about the produce. Yeah. And so then at the bottom of our website, because Robert was using WordPress. I don't know if I mentioned that already, but you're using WordPress, aren't you? And so we were able to use, what are these called? Not widgets. What are they?
I can't remember.
Plugins.
Yeah, some sort of plugin.
Yeah, it's a plugin that...
Instagram plugin.
Yeah, that talks to your Instagram feed. And so every time you post it, puts it onto your website as well.
Yeah, automatically. So you don't have to worry about anything.
Yeah, so this is actually the profile information. It scraped it from our Instagram and placed it here on our website. And then people have the option to load more Instagram posts and to follow us on Instagram too. And then at the bottom, we have our contact information. In fact, some people use this contact form to...
A lot of people.
For lots of different things. Or can you add a fruit bag now, please? And can you do this? Can you do that? And so, and then it's got our contact information there, and then our opening times here, and then, you know, our official registration information.
And the other thing, very quickly, is we did decide to use a different email address for when dealing with microgreens, well, dealing with everything to do with the company, but specifically we're talking about microgreens here. So when we go in to see the chefs and we have our card, this is the information that we would give. And so some people would use their own personal email address, and that's fine, but we wanted just to have something separate and in our opinion have something maybe a little bit more professional. And so but
having said that, we are using Gmail.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, but you can...
But not our personal.
No, not our personal. But you can also, with a lot of these, when you purchase a web address, you can also have the opportunity to have, like, you know, sales at theartisangrower.co.uk. But again, that was more cost and we thought it's not necessary, so we didn't bother.
Not necessary. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the last couple of things we're just going to talk on very briefly now is social media.
Yeah. So I'm just going to quickly go into Instagram here. I have to go in this way because, yeah. So this is our Instagram feed, and you can see it's pretty simple, really. We just ran a giveaway. It's very good to, it's another really good way to actually promote your product. What we had people do, if I click this, I think it should come up. We're giving away a Try My Flavors pack, which is one of each flavor of the juices that we're doing. You can do this with microgreens too. And basically, what we asked people to do is to share this post with five of their friends. And then obviously it's like a cascading effect. And then they have the opportunity then to win a Try My Flavors pack.
But the beauty is it
gets our word around.
Well, yeah, that's whatever product. And you can do the same with microgreens. We've done it the same. We're just showing you the most recent.
The most recent,
yeah. Yeah, post that we've done with that.
Yeah. Actually, we have some microgreens.
Yeah, yeah. Always good. So we just, you know, we just try and keep people updated with what we're growing.
In fact, this guy here, Black Isle Veg Box, is they are the ones that we went to visit, that we spoke to about in Inverness that January.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
So yeah. Yeah. So this is pretty simple. It's just
So we use Instagram a lot. We say a lot, but I mean, compared to other people,
right, can you talk? Let me see if I can hear you.
We don't live on it, but we do post so that people can see what we're doing.
Right, I'm gonna turn over like that. Hold on just a second.
It's just some labeling that we do.
And here's another microgreen picture.
Yeah, Rambo Radish again. Yeah.
So that's it, really. I mean, you can go and take a look at our, follow us.
Yeah.
Take a look at, you know, what.
Now, we've found Instagram, not so much Facebook. We have a business Facebook, excuse me. And we don't really get that much traction from Facebook. We get a lot more inquiries. We do get inquiries from Facebook, but we get a lot more microgreen inquiries via Instagram. And I think that's why we post quite a lot. So what we do is, every time we post, we've got it set up that every time we post on Instagram, it posts automatically to Facebook. So, and then, you know, people do say a few things, but majority of feedback and things like that, we get from Instagram.
Yeah.
Just show the...
What do you want to show?
Red vein sorrel.
This is red vein sorrel.
If you've grown it before, you know what that looks like. That takes forever to grow, in our context anyway. Nice, you know, nice when it has grown.
Purple shiso.
Yeah, yeah, very nice. Very, very nice.
These taste like aniseed.
Yeah, very nice. The chefs love them because of the colours, yeah. Things like that. So this is what, as I said, so it's just a way, it's a free way of getting publicity and, you know, getting your product out there. All it takes you is a little bit of time, excuse me, to set yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're set up, then you can start posting and start cataloging. It's a way of cataloging your growing and your experiences. And then as you start getting your product, your microgreens into chefs, into shops, we would encourage you to get the chef or the shop to take a picture of the products, post it on their own media outlets.
Which is what
outlets.
I'm showing you at the moment. These are some of the... this Bistro Verde is a restaurant that we would supply. Bonobo, they're a vegan restaurant in Aberdeen.
Mm.
There we go. So they would just share and then we'd just go and repost.
Yeah, yeah. It just keeps things alive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that is social media.
Yeah.
That's social media.
Actually, let me just add one little thing. Very quickly. That is when we first started out getting our produce into the the restaurants, I used Instagram. I went and I looked at different foodie people that post a lot of their time in different restaurants.
Mm.
And I would just go in and look at the different meals. And if I could see microgreens on the plate, then I would take a note of the restaurant because I know that they're using microgreens. And then what Robert would do is he had a blanket message that he would send to the restaurant asking them if they would be interested in taking a free sample, which 9 times out of 10, they would.
Yeah.
And then Robert would go down there and then sort of start some kind of rapport with them.
Mm.
And then we would usually about 9 times or 9.5 times out of 10, we would usually get to supply them.
Yeah.
Because as I said before, there seems to be a bit of a, you know, a hole in the market there.
Yeah. So again, so I hope you found that useful and of interest, and we'll see you in the next section. Yeah. So this is the final section that we're going to be dealing with invoicing, which, you know, is all part of the professional image when growing microgreens and selling them. And it's also a good part because once you've invoiced somebody, it means, God willing, that you're going to get paid. So we do have a number of customers that pay by cash, and that's fine. But even when they pay by cash, we still give them an invoice to say that what we've just delivered to them has been paid. And so it's just a smart way, not just in terms of professionalism, but also it keeps a record of what you've sold.
Yeah.
So
a lot of the invoicing companies that we use or have used, we've used two. They keep a report of all of your sales and everything that's, that goes on. So that's pretty good.
Well, while we were with the wholesaler and the restaurants, we were using Zoho for a while.
I found that they are actually better.
I think so.
When working with businesses.
Yeah.
So we used them a lot when we were working with the restaurants, because the restaurants would often want a 30-day invoice. And Zoho worked really well with that for that.
Yeah, and then they could send reminders and what have you. But most of our customers actually did pay on time.
Yeah, they were. It's very, very heavily featured, and I don't think there's anything you couldn't do with it. And we worked with it for quite a good couple of years.
Yeah.
But then when the what's it called? The COVID came and. We stopped working with the restaurants as much. Then we moved over to Square.
Which we'll just...
And we'll show you... Oops, sorry. We'll show you that.
Yeah.
So here is Square. And so you probably heard about Square, but it works really, really well with...
doing subscriptions. It does.
Subscriptions, recurring payments.
Weekly, monthly, and all that sort of stuff, which is what we're doing a lot more of.
So if you earn, like, if you have people that, and they also have a shop, isn't it? Does Zoho have a shop?
Not a shop feature.
So our shop, actually, on our website is actually powered by Square. Although having said that, we're looking at moving over to Shopify. So, but this is, it's currently, maybe. But it's currently powered by Square. And so they handle all the payments. And so if you sell, let's say, I don't know, £500 or dollars worth of goods on Monday, then the cutoff is midnight and then you get paid the following day. So it's actually, they're very quick actually at paying as well.
Yeah, which is good, because some service providers, they take quite a while, like PayPal. They take ages.
It's not, you know.
So you've got to look at things like this.
Yeah.
And the other thing, just to throw in there, just as we're ending, is we also had a card reader from Square. Now, to be honest, we've probably used it like twice since we bought it. But you know, because the idea was we were going to use it at shops maybe, or if we could have got around to farmers markets, but because as we mentioned before, we didn't really major on farmers markets, so we didn't have to use it. But having a card reader, that's really handy. If you're at a market or if you're selling on the spot, then you can take a payment straight away. Especially if someone's got a card, because it's contactless, you can do all these different things. So again, it just keeps things neat. And with the card reader as well, you can send an invoice to them via email or on the phone as well. You can get a text message, you know, so all these different features, which we think use technology where you can just to streamline and make your life a lot easier, because you can't be bugged down with admin. We're meant to be growing. We're meant to be in the soil. You know, we can't be bugged down with all these paper things. So. Although we try.
It's needed, but
yeah, we try as much as possible to
streamline things.
Streamline things, yeah, as much as possible. Yeah, so this is the card reader that we've got, and again, it's contactless. You know, you've probably seen them in some small shops, things like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what we use. But as I said, we only use them maybe two or three times.
We've hardly used it at all, because it's usually an accountant that may pay us for, you know, an invoice that a company that we've sent to a company. You know, very rarely would they actually use a card, but you know, in fact, we thought that we were going to be doing the farmers markets, and we thought that this would be really good for that. But there are occasions, and there have been occasions where you know, we, how to put it, we've dealt with smaller restaurants where the owner is the chef and he would use a business card and pay. So that's possible.
That happens as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it, really.
So we hope again that you found that of use and a blessing. And again, as we're coming up to the end, I'm sure if you've got any questions, just save them up till the section's actually finished. So that's the end of the Microgreens second day classes.
We hope you enjoyed it.
We hope you did.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.